Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Good evening, listening audience. This is yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, host of Talk Straight, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Grateful for each of you who have tuned in tonight, whether it be for your first time or you are a returning honored listener for this Blog Talk Radio show, Talk Straight. We're grateful for your participation. And as always, we invite you to call in and share with us your questions, your comments related to the various topics that we have. And as you may know already, this show focuses on extending a national dialogue for Building Families and Communities Institute, which is a research arm of a nonprofit organization located in Nashville, Tennessee, that being Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated. We're grateful again for each and every one of your participation. If you're listening to us via Facebook, we do have a survey there online and a question thread. Please join us. If you've gotten this via Twitter, act accordingly for the message, as well as if you're on the Blog Talk Radio platform, we'd love for you to engage us. As you know, we have guests on from time to time, and we again, as I mentioned earlier, address various topics. Tonight, this is an open mic forum, and we invite you to share your comments. However, as we normally do, we provide a background or context for our dialogue. So I will be starting off with our opening monologue, and that will take us into our conversation for tonight. We do expect to have our panelists to participate with us, Reverend Dr. Ricky Waller, who incidentally appeared in a news story in Nashville, Tennessee, relative to his book, Steel High, and the work that he does in ministry locally. We have invited him, and he's graciously accepted to join us in our effort to spread hope and support nationally via our traveling seminar and lecture series. We'll talk more about that later, and you can always archive our previous show. There is a show specifically addressing those things. But as you heard at the beginning of the show, you can learn more about it at www.bfcinstitute.com. There's a phone number. There's an email. Feel free to communicate with us. immediately, you can give us a call here tonight and join us on this particular topic at 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. And with that, we're going to begin our conversation. The topic for tonight's discussion is the function of religion. The function of religion. Over the last two decades, more people have moved away from traditional religious practices and showing loyalty to certain faith traditions, such as Baptist, Methodist, apostolic, and other Christian traditions. Tonight, again, we invite you to join me, yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, as we open the air for a real conversation, the function of religion in people's lives day to day. And as I previously mentioned, you can call us here at 657-383-0944. When we think about this topic, one might ask, why is this relevant? Well, along with the other topics that we've strived to cover in our previous episodes, we want to talk about things that are directly impacting or facing families. My 19 and a half years of pastoring have taught me one thing, and that is today in 2017, there is a dire need for me as a pastor and other pastors across America to be keenly aware that many have questions that are unanswered about their faith, about certain religious practices and their traditions. But more importantly, many want to know just what is the function of religion today? When we look at the way politics play out, economics, we look at pop culture, we look at the influences of various other social platforms, it begs the question, so what do I need religion for? I'm my own man, and I can operate according to my own dictates. What is the function of religion? We hope to answer that tonight, and if you're on Facebook, feel free to begin responding to that thread, that question thread. James, the first chapter, 27 verse, reads, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Another text that we'll consider tonight is Hebrews 11, chapter, the first verse. And it reads, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. According to the unabridged definition, as reported by the Oxford English Dictionary, that includes a origin of words, historical origin of words, in the English language, the origin of the word religion, R-E-L-I-G-I-O-N, comes from Old French, and it has to do with religious community. It arrived in the French from the Latin, religio, and that was used in respect for what is sacred, reverence for the gods with a small g, or obligation to such reverence. The bond between man and the small g gods is derived from the Latin religio, and again, it relates to the ultimate origin, and that origin is not very clear for many people. The Latin root religio comes from medieval times and was understood as an individual virtue of worship during medieval times. Never as a doctrine, though, practice, or actual source of knowledge. The modern concept of religion is an abstraction which entails distinct sets of beliefs or doctrines. That's what we see it as at present today. And it is a relative recent invention of the English language, since such usage began in texts from the 17th century or 1600s, due to the splitting of Christendom from the Catholic Church and the formation in the 1500s of the Protestant Church, or the Protestant Reformation, we call it historically. And another thing that impacted the use of this concept of religion in the 17th century or the early 1600s was the colonization of various areas around the world as Christianity spread itself. There were numerous languages that brought this concept with it as it went around the world in the process of colonization and globalization of certain ideas, concepts. It was the 17th century that the concept religion received its modern shape, though. Despite that fact, that ancient texts in the Bible, as well as the Quran, and other ancient sacred texts did not have a concept of religion. I emphasize, they did not have a concept of religion as used today in the original language. Neither did the people or the culture in each of those respective languages use them in their sacred text. For example, the Greek word thrησκεία, which was used by Greek writers such as Herodotus, who's said to be the father of history, as well as Josephus, who was a sociologist during the time of Jesus Christ, and is found in text in the New Testament. And sometimes it's translated as religion today. That's what people see it as. However, the term was used, or was understood, I should say, to relate to worship, not a structured form that we see now stemming from the medieval period. In the Quran, the Arabic word din, D-I-N, is often translated as religion. In modern translations, though, but up to the mid-1600s, translators began to express din as law. Josephus, a first-century scholar, as I referenced earlier, used the Greek term eidemos, which has been translated as Judaism today, even though he used it as an ethnic term, not one linked to modern abstract or these concepts of religious beliefs today are applicable. The precise equivalent of religion in Hebrew and Judaism does not distinguish clearly between religious, national, racial, or even ethnic identities. One of its central concepts is halakah, which means a walk or path, and sometimes is translated as law. It guides religious practices and a man's belief in many aspects of their daily living. Now, in conclusion to that, we should understand that what we understand today religion as being is some very different than what James made reference to in James 1:27, and that was used in the Old Testament, as well as Hebrews when we talk about faith as it relates to it. Which brings us to the question today, how do we really view the word faith? How do we weigh out rituals that we see in church, as well as doctrine that is taught and espoused? To do so, let me briefly give some explanation of what faith, ritual, and doctrine are, and then we will open our phone lines. Faith, complete trust or confidence in someone or something, strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual phobia rather than proof. I want to emphasize that it's based on the notion that there are certain characteristics that you must display by way of being spiritual, and the fear is if I don't God is going to get me. This is not always based on some evidentiary basis of proof. Ritual. A revered or solemn ceremony consisting of a series of actions performed according to a prescribed order. Doctrine. A belief or set of beliefs held and taught by a church, a political party, or another group. Principle of government policy, mainly in foreign or military affairs. That's what the term doctrine refers to. I'm happy to open our phone lines now, 657-383-0944. And we have on with us already, our panelists, Pastor Ricky Waller. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you doing, Dr. Ricky?
All right, all right. Speak into your phone a little bit for me. And
yeah, okay.
We have a call.
Can you hear me better?
Yes, I can hear you much better now. And we have another caller on with us tonight, readings caller. Pastor, where do we go wrong in our monologue?
Hey, I think you've done your homework, brother. You know, I don't see that you're going wrong at all. You know, when you when you strive to do the will of God, man, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, bringing forth information that is valuable. And I think that you did that. And I remember, if I can say this, years ago, before I ever even got inside the will of God concerning seeking change for my life,
mm-hmm.
I used to hear some people say, not all, but some, they would say, "Have you got good religion?" And it was almost like you could sing a song about that.
Yeah,
and I understood the sound,
yes,
but I wanted to know where the substance was in it. You know, was in the substance in it? You know, because it really sounds good. But I'm back here, you know, in the back of this church, man, sitting down in the last pew, ready to go back out the door. You know, and so I know whatever they're talking about, I don't think I have it at that time. So, you know, it's very good that you brought that up, man.
You know, I was down in Meridian, Mississippi, caller and pastor, and they didn't have a whole lot of instruments. They really had, literally had a wood floor. The deacons were using washboards and tambourines, and they were singing that song, "Have you got good religion?" And then the chorus would come back, "Certainly, Lord." They would hit them things, man. I'm telling you, it was something, man. If you didn't understand, you left away from that experience full. And I wonder, caller, outcast, if the real issue is we get caught up so much in the emotionalism of the moment that we really don't have a full understanding. Is that what's going on?
No. Yes, this is what's going on. You went back in history. You started, you know, the 1600s, and then you came down and you talked about Josephus, which Josephus, he was a historian, I mean, even during the crucifixion of Christ. And you brung up another gentleman, which was a sociologist.
Herodotus, yes. He was said to be the father of history.
And I can come on up a little bit, and I could mention Friedrich Nietzsche, which he did believe in Christianity. He said was weak, that Christianity made people weak and things of that nature, coming up into early 1900s, I think, World War II. I think I know it was around World War II, which he died in a straitjacket in a mental institution. You don't go against God.
That's what we're taught, right? You don't question God. That's
exactly. But he questioned
that's
God. I mean, he was a philosopher, and he went against God. And he died in a mental institution in a straitjacket. When I think about the Bible, and I'm going to go back to the 1600s. So I'm going to add the 1600s in. When you were talking about, who should I bring? I'm going to bring Scipio Africanus in. And I'm going to take him back to Rome. During that period of time, I guess it was somewhat medieval times. He went over and he took, you know, he conquered Africa. His name was Scipio Africanus. So they gave that continent the name Africa, which it wasn't Africanus, but this is where the name come from.
Right.
Scipio Africanus, this is why Africa is Africa. And, you know, I think in about Europe, the Romans, you know, they were in power and they were conquering,
right.
Which the true name of Africa is not Africa, it's Eden.
That's true.
You know, it's Eden. You know, I think about all this, and I'm going to come back up to the 1600s. Here's something I keep telling you. When I think about Anthony Johnson, you mentioned the 1600s. Anthony Johnson, he didn't come over on a slave ship to here in America. He came over as an indentured servant. You worked for X amount of years. You got your freedom.
Anthony Johnson,
he got his freedom, and he had a black slave. The black slave ran off from him and went to a white man. Now, coming on back up in the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, when all blacks were put into slavery, you know, I'm kind of stumped on that, Reverend Docker. Can you help me out with that?
So I'm assuming that you are correlating that to the function of religion for slaves and how it impacted their way of life, their belief system and practices there on to this point. Now, I'm assuming that, and I would agree with you that that was the fact that the Greeks, who had conquered the Romans, who basically controlled the language of every area that they colonized, they conquered, they dominated, right? And they brought with them certain belief systems. And I think this is maybe where the niche to where you're saying that did shape largely Western civilization as we know it today. And the religious practices that the Catholic Church brought, as well as Protestantism, as it formed itself in, again, the 1500s, the 1600s, right? And what it has, the impact that it has today is that to this very day, various Christian churches who say they believe in the Christian religion are shaped by certain doctrinal points, certain rituals, and certain faith traditions. When it comes to former slaves, we were introduced to a religious system that was beyond our control because our indigenous religious practice was stripped from us after we left the continent known as Africa and were brought here in slavery, very much like Mr. Johnson. We were not allowed to practice those things, but we were forced to accept the belief of the captors or the slave masters. Now, I'm not saying that to say that today we're not in control of how we shape our faith or how we see God even. I'm saying that you actually now have the freedom to study, to show yourself approved, and be a workman that need not be ashamed by rightly dividing every word of truth.
Exactly.
That's what I'm suggesting.
Exactly.
And it begs the question, what is the function? What is the function of religion for you today? You know? And that's where we are today. That's Pastor, I want to know if, as pastors, we have an obligation to help people to ask this question for themselves. What do you think?
Well, I was listening with not much knowledge about things that you was talking about, but I'm so glad that I took a trip through in the last 15 minutes and the things that I was seeing about the people scattered.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about how many people from the time I seen those people to just now. And I mean, I think I seen out on the street, man, before I made it to my destiny, over 100 people looked like they were scared.
Wow.
I'm sure they more because I didn't walk town.
Okay.
I just wonder how many people know anything about religion at all.
Mm.
And it helped me to know that what's important right now, when you said something about it has to do with basically learning, examining yourself, where is their faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God, you know, all those things. And it's like, mm-hmm. how am I going to be any good to anybody if I don't about myself, you know?
Okay.
Can I help?
Okay.
You know,
right.
But there's some on the street. Do you have good religion? And this person here is caught up in everything and don't know how to get out of it.
My Lord.
And so I just can only imagine, man. I mean, this is what I've seen. I experienced this, I'm telling you, in the last 30 minutes, man.
Okay.
And so I
okay.
was amazed by that. I think I was bent over for too many years. I didn't raise up, you know, from the position, you know, until not long ago, man. And so I'm just in training now. I'm learning how to examine myself, to make sure that I'm firm in what I know that's beneficial, you know, to
right.
the cause, right? And so I'm
sure,
listening, I'm
sure.
tuned in, I'm listening. I said, man, I just praise God for those who got it before I did. And
okay.
since I didn't get it until I did, I love this part right here where, you know, you're talking about getting to know. That's basically what it is. It's getting to know certain things about the will of God and how you can make a difference in your life first in order to help
mm-hmm.
somebody else. That's where I'm at right now, man. And I tell you, man, it was just a sight to see just not long ago. And so I was thinking that before we even got on air, I said, man, look at all these people out here scattered. Who's going to
mm-hmm.
bring some good information there to them, you know? And so that's where I'm at right now, man. That's where my head
okay.
was at.
I want to go to some of that caller reference in terms of the philosopher Nietzsche. And he correctly reported that because Nietzsche broke a standard rule of the society he was in, and that was
mm-hmm.
to challenge religious thought or ideas about Christianity. You know, in the society he was in, that was a cardinal offense. But what's interesting about that call and pastor and listening audience is in the so far we've been able to visit at least 5 of the 11 cities that we're targeting. And one of the things I consciously do every chance I get is to engage people on the raw, on the rough, on the streets. And I'm intentionally looking for young people because that's our target audience. And one of the questions I ask is something to the nature of, you know, how is it that your faith guides what you do day by day? And what I'm finding, caller and pastor, is there a lot of people are very much like Nietzsche. They question whether or not it's valid. You know, they know that their parents, their grandparents, and others, they've heard. They can tell you, I've heard. And many of them don't actively attend a church congregation or follow a prescribed doctrine that shapes their character and identity as persons. And again, as a pastor, that speaks volumes to me. It tells me that some kind of way we need to help people understand not necessarily what religious or a religion wants, but what James talked about in the 27th chapter when he spoke of what pure religion is, the first chapter, 27th verse. And the focus that James had was action. Pure religion, practice, worship, expression, he says, involves, and he said, undefiled before God and the Father. It involves visiting the fatherless. And when I think about that, brethren, I'm on the streets, and I'm seeing a whole lot of children that are without fatherly guidance and instruction. Could that be why we got the shooting, the killing, and the hustling, and the bustling, and the gang banging, and everything else, the prostitution? Do you think that's a factor there? Either one of y'all.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And I want to believe that it should guide what we do as preachers, as men first, right, as preachers or even as figures of influence or leaders of any kind. That should guide what we do. That there's a reason why our babies are out of control. And like you were saying, Pastor, you see so many people that are going nowhere fast. Some of them will run you over, man.
Oh, man.
Cuss you out if you get in their way. Cuss you out if you get in their way.
My goodness, man. Well,
and if you ask, hey, wait, hey, little brother, hey, little sister, where you going? They couldn't tell you.
Man, that is. That's tough right there, man. That is just downright. It is. It's downright tough, I must admit.
I know I'm raising a question that makes many uncomfortable, but it's high time we stop being comfortable with ignorance.
Oh, man.
I agree.
And we begin to espouse what is good and profitable for reproof. It's high time.
Yeah,
but how do we do that? How do we do that? I answer that. How do we do that? I answer that.
Yes.
Study, show ourselves approved, like you stated. This is how we do it, like you stated, Reverend Doctor. Study, show ourselves approved.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the only way that we can get ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Finish your thought. I'm sorry. I cut you off.
The only way that we can do that, it took God to turn me around.
Mm.
I was 20 years old. I couldn't even tell you what 8 times 9 was. But when I got on my knees and I prayed, I said, hey, God, help me. I want to move. And God moved me forward.
Mm.
And I am saved. Math, everything else, you know, theology, went there, been there, done that. I can still learn more. We do not know it all. But we have to stop ourselves and go to God. You
okay.
know, I do realize that at one point I was one of Nietzsche's followers. Oh, I don't believe in Christianity. I don't believe in that and so on and so forth, which I didn't know anything about Nietzsche until I studied and I went to college. And bam,
okay.
man, what? This is what I was. I was a little Nietzsche.
But when
I prayed to God, God brought me out of that.
Okay. Interesting. That's interesting. Wow. And so you're raising a great point, brother. And don't we have to come with that sensitivity and that understanding that there are some good people out there doing some messed up, some jacked up stuff, but they run around without a clear understanding of the truth. We talked about the truth the other day and how the truth can make you free. You know, probably the most valuable thing we can give a person is to introduce them to a search and a thirst for the truth. That's the only thing that'll really help us. If you got that reality and you can operate in reality, like you're saying, Carla, then you know, hey, I'm going wrong here. Something ain't right about where I am. I need to do something different. Hence this function of religion, this organized structure or doctrine that somebody else taught me. How you know it's true if you don't question it, if you don't examine it, if you don't study, you know? Oh, man. Listen, I got something I want to bring before you, brother. After this, it's at the bottom of the hour here. I need to go to a little break. Y'all familiar with Denise LaSalle, right? Denise LaSalle.
Yes. Okay.
She's very popular blues singer. She's a very well. She preached to me one day, and I want to share with y'all a message she preached to me. And the question that I want to ask our listening audience as I share that message that Denise preached to me is this: suppose you were stranded on a desert island. There was nobody to hear your profession of faith in God. There was no one to witness your daily walk before God. And there was no one to fellowship with you or worship in devotion. Question, how important will your religious practice be under those circumstances? When we come back, we want to hear from a word from Denise LaSalle, a popular blues singer, and to try to see if we can ask that question after these messages.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Tonight we're talking about the question, the function of religion. Somebody is listening right now, and perhaps your heart is telling you, call, because that's something I need to know about. Give me a call here, 657-383-0944, 657-383-0944. We will entertain your question, your comment. Gentlemen, did y'all hear what Denise LaSalle said?
And what part of that, Pastor, that is so meaningful before you left and went to the break?
Uh-huh.
You came back and wanted to know some things about what you described. In other words, In short, he was talking about having something that nobody is able to witness but you, and nobody else around. You know, you know, this is going on, but nobody's there to witness it.
My Lord.
Now, that was pretty tough right there. You know, it took me back. I was on a route with my mother. She was on a number route, picking up numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure she got to hit money for people she had to deliver it to. And while I was driving her around, I used to have my friend with me, the basketball. And I would take it out, and I would do certain things with it, and I would try things that I've never done before.
Mm-hmm.
And if I try it and I don't get it, I have to stay right there until I do it. And I said to myself, boy, you better not throw that ball up to that wire hanging on that post. You see how that wire is up there? And I said, I'm going to catch it on my finger. Never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
So when my mother come out, of course, she's going to be ready to go.
Right.
And I said, you should be able to do that. And so I wasn't in the will of God or anything. I was still in the streets. I looked up at that door. My mother hadn't come out. I looked at that wire again, and I saw how high it was. I said, boy, you know good and well, you know, you don't need to throw that ball up there, because if you do and miss it, you got to get up until you get it. And when your mother come out there, she's not going to say, okay, go ahead on and get it. I'll wait till you get it. She's going to be like,
right.
Boy, if you don't get it, let's go. So anyway, I looked up the door three times. She still hadn't come. And I threw the ball up there, Pastor Dockery. And it hit my finger and fell off real quick. It didn't stay up there no time. I mean, it hit fair. I looked up at that door. She still hadn't come out. I threw it up there again. I said, I'm going to get it. And the third time I threw it up there and I caught it, I said, man, but ain't nobody around to see it. I didn't have no witness.
No
witness. You know how I felt? No witness. I said, I don't know if I'll ever be able to do it again. But I know I did it that day. And the only one I knew that seen it, man, was God. And I didn't have no relationship with him, glory to God. So when you said that, man, it reminded me that, you know, you can be in that situation that nobody is around to witness. What good is it? And then I finally had a chance to tell somebody, man, I know how to do this. And sure enough, maybe you're a witness to it yourself. You've seen it yourself that I threw it up that high. But it's just at that time, man, I didn't know if I was going to ever do it again. So it's all about a learning. Whatever it is that you do, you know, is about a learning. And that's what the
Word
of God says. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Right.
You see? So there's some people out there that really needed some information, and you have to learn how to get out there and get it to them. And
sure.
I think that's why, man. So if, so talk to me about that, what you were saying, man. That's awful.
I love your analogy.
Mm-hmm.
One function of religion, one positive function, and I like the way James described it as peer. He put a qualifier on it, right?
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
And when I think about what is peer, that's undefiled, that's clean, huh? And
yes,
it's useful for anybody.
Yeah.
One function of religion is to apply what you know to be true and what motivates you in your life. I don't care where you are. You can be dangling from a light pole by yourself. You can be out in the country in the pitch black of night and nobody out there with you but cows and horses. But true to what you believe and you truly love God. It don't matter if 100 people around you with a pistol to your head and tell you curse God or die. You ready to stand and to die and be like the Hebrew boys and say, we don't know what God's going to do, but we know he can save us if he wanted to. We're going in the fire.
Yeah.
Because we know he's able.
Right. Go ahead, yeah.
I believe that there are a lot of Christians today, people that profess to be Christians, who, because they are more caught up in organized religion as opposed to having a personal relationship with the Creator, if you put them in a situation, sir, gentlemen, where they had to stand by themselves, they'd have a hard time proving to themselves that they believe God.
Oh, my goodness. Pretty deep right
maybe
there,
that's
man.
Why maybe that's why Paul said in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things that you hope for and the evidence of things you don't see. Watch this. Substance, the stuff, the crap, the mess that I've been through. That's my testimony. The basis of my action, what makes me put my words to action, I done been through, so I got a story. Everybody got a story. And can't nobody take it away from me.
Yes, sir. And that's what he said, now faith is. That's why you tell a story now. Don't wait till you get everything you need to. Go ahead and tell it now.
Not when you die and go to heaven, Outcast. Faith is.
Yeah.
See, got this already. I ain't got to wait on this to come. I got this already. I done been through that already. You can't never take that away from me. But I'm looking for something else, right? It's what I've been through that keeps me on the road to get to what I want.
I got
happy right there. I apologize.
It allow you to stay with it. I'm all right with that.
Yeah. Now, just imagine, I was watching yesterday, the mayor had the police and several other people with this group in Nashville who were pushing for police cameras. They met with them and what have you. And one of the things that kept coming up is the police need to be accountable, but young people need to be in order. Citizens need to have their stuff together. And I just wonder if they understood that no matter what anybody else does, if you got your stuff wrapped tight, can't no devil in hell do nothing against you.
If you got it wrapped tight.
You got to get your business straight, though, man, or you come out the house. Is that right, Alcan? Maybe. Okay, are you there? Okay, perhaps
I would say you do have to get it. Yes.
Here's the thing. Go ahead.
No, I'm here. Don't finish what you're saying.
Yeah, here's the thing. If a man or woman is not willing to make sacrifices, put time in, exert energy and effort for what it is they say they believe, it's a good chance they will never achieve what they are seeking for.
That's right.
Now, I'm looking at the text here in James 1:27, and it went on to describe that this thing about to visit, that's an action, right?
Mm-hmm. All right.
And to keep himself unspotted from, that's an action. That is that requires a conscious, people like to hide behind, though, in religion, in organized religion, is the fact that somebody else has, by way of doctrine, they have told you what to do. There may be times where you by yourself, and the closest thing anybody's going to come to God is your example, your walk, your integrity, your honesty.
Mm-hmm.
Are you walking
with
me now?
I'm right
in
there.
In the absence of you, they may never know God. They may never come to be saved in the absence of you. And even when the doctrine that's written and the confession of faith that's in whatever your liturgy, your sacred writings are, even when that's not, if somebody, say somebody burned the Bible up, how do you represent what's in the Bible for lost souls?
How do you represent it?
Right. Do you have to follow? Speaking your phone, Pastor. Speaking your phone for me.
Yeah. You have to follow, right?
No, I was asking, do you have to follow a certain set of written rules or regulations? Or is it more important that you have the essence and the spirit of truth down within you that leads you and guides you into everything that is truthful, that is righteous. That's I know I'm asking a series of questions, but these are rhetorical questions intended to prompt individuals to think about it, just in case they haven't already. At the end of the day, preacher, some things we need to look at is the fact that our life is based on something that Elohim, God, the Creator, has given us from birth. Had it not been for the Almighty, we wouldn't be here. Now, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I said that's without a doubt. We wouldn't be
right.
Here.
And I would argue that the challenge for many is understanding their relationship with their Creator. We talked about that the other day, about certain truths that were self-evident, that were endowed by the Creator. I don't care you are. I don't care where you are, because Yehovah Elohim, the Lord God, created you, and the text in Genesis said, in his own like, in his image, and after his likeness. You got some divine authority, not just in America, but in the world. Now, where you position you? In fact, the universe, my friend. In fact, the universe. And when you position yourself, sir, when you position yourself first to act invested in you from heaven on high, man, ain't nothing you can't do. There's nothing you couldn't accomplish. Just imagine if these little dudes walking around with these 9mm and these Glocks and these semi-automatics and what. Just imagine if that was in their head, Brother Preacher. That the world belongs to me because of Yehovah Elohim, the Lord God. The world is mine.
If they knew that.
What if they knew that?
Man, you know what? Time for questions.
Talk to me, man. Talk to me.
I believe they would do something different. I do believe that.
Wow.
I believe that. Drop them guns and everything, man. And just going to come and off of them.
Yes, sir.
I believe that.
Yes, sir.
I believe
we'll
start claiming to us at that point, you know, because the Bible said that there is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So I believe they'll start accepting it, receiving it, embracing it, walking in it, you know, rejoicing. Oh, man.
Everything.
And so much, so much more, man. But right now they have to put them Glocks and all of them guns you name in their hands because of the things that's going on. I still call it the trap.
Exactly. That's what it is.
I still call it. You know, they say they call this thing either.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I did want to speak to that again. And I mentioned that at the beginning of the show, that recently there was a news story on Channel 2. Right here in Nashville, News Channel 2 in Nashville, where you were featured in that story. Will you tell us a little bit about that briefly? And now I'm going to tell you why I'm bringing that in. Because I am serious. I am very serious in my intent as I go to the cities, Lord willing, give us his strength, to make sure that young and old people understand what's missing that's causing the demise and destruction is this level of understanding about the truth, about what the function of our religious beliefs and our forefathers, our grandfathers. Many of them were not formally educated, Pastor, but they knew that there was something that kept them grounded. It was something that allowed them to overcome many harsh adversities, right? They could see, right? Many of them, but they knew something was in them. And they believed in that, and they were true to that. So this is where I'm getting. That's where I'm. But that's the reason I'm asking you to bring that in. I saw that story, and I was really impressed. Of course, we're grateful that you are sharing your work with us and supporting our calls as we travel with your book, Still High. And that can be found on our website, www.bfcinstitute.com. If you simply go and look at the contact us page, you'll see a backstory link there. Click on it, and you'll find the book there. read the description. When you make a contribution or you get that book, a contribution automatically goes to BFC Institute and its efforts to spread this word to those 11 cities that we're targeting. I'm sorry, Pastor. Go ahead. What were you? Tell us a little bit about that story.
Yeah, hey, Pastor Doctor, concerning that story, man, I got a phone call one day, and the guy asked me, he said, would you be willing to talk about your life? Because News Channel 2 and Brett Martin is looking for someone who have lived a life, and I told him about you. And so I thought about all the hurting people, and I thought about, you know, the work that God has for me to do, and my assignment is to testify and tell what God has done for me. So anyway, so the man got with me, sure enough, and he interviewed me. He wanted to interview me on the street, and then he also wanted to interview me at the church. And I shared with him about how the drug trade is what they basically was trying to find out where did this come from. And I shared with him my concern was not where the drug come from. It's what to do about it. And, I took a basketball in my hand because it was something that I grew up with. And while standing on the very street that I used to do all the damage, all the corruption that I was a part of, it took me back, Pastor, and I shared with him as I was watching the guy standing on the corner. I was a little boy playing in the yard. So you got to be mindful that people watch what you do.
That's
and
right.
So I seen
That's
him,
right.
Long story short, I became the very person that I seen in them. I became the very thing I seen in them. And all of a sudden, I'm corrupting my whole community. So I shared that with him. I often wonder, how did they know about me? I've been out of the game for 25 years.
Okay.
Why would it come to me? Okay, so I was grateful, you know, to know that the message that I do have, somebody needs to know about it, and I was willing to do it. And, man, it was an experience, brother. I tell you, man, I talked about how I got captured, and I talked about, you know, the things that happened according to my talent and gift, and I think they shared a little bit of it. They say I traded my pretension for heroin, you know, and the heroin is one of the strongest drugs on the planet, which have come back. And I just wanted to remind the brothers, whoever's out there, somebody in someone's family that's caught up out there, yes, I used to be that same person that distributed. I was a supplier, you know, and I was telling them how I controlled the whole community the way I came from. Well, I mean, people that really know of me, they heard of that, so I didn't have to sugarcoat it or anything, and I wasn't proud of it. And then after that, we went up to the church, and they shared some things with me, and they wanted to know, hey, since he's in church now, what is he doing? So I had a chance to let them know where I came from, how I sat in the back, and I ended up in the front in the pulpit, and they asked me, how did I feel about that? And I shared with them that the word of God says, you know, you go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I explained to them, and I said, it reminded me of some of the people that are still doing what I used to do. So they still need someone to come out there and talk to them. So that's why I do what I do. And, you know, I have a great concern and compassion on them, like the man had compassion on me and came out there and shared with me. So it's only fair.
Okay.
And then when I ended it, I said that I've been delivered for 25 years. And I think it's not something to hold back. That's not something to keep to yourself or anything like that. I learned how to get free, and I'm willing to do all I can do to teach others how to get free. And that's a good taste of what we're doing.
We're at the top of the hour now, within our last 30 minutes, and we're going to squeeze this last break in it. But when we come back, will you do something for me?
Sure.
Will you talk?
Sure.
Will you? Here's another scenario. Say we got us a UPS truck or Wonder Bread truck, right? And we went around to socially economically disadvantaged neighborhoods like the housing projects, where there's high crime and things, right? And we just rounded young cats up. We rounded young cats up, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we said we want to take them somewhere where they can learn about the function, the proper function of religion, about faith, about worship, about God. When we come back, will you tell me what should we be telling these young cats that we done rounded up? Ain't nobody going to get us now. They ain't gonna arrest us because now we're in a position. We got some authority to do so. What do we do when we catch them? Everybody always talking about, we got to get them off the street. When you get them off the street, what you going to do with them? But when we come back, we still talking about the function of religion. This is Talk Straight, your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. And when we come back from there, will you hit that for me, Brother Pastor?
I will.
Okay.
Be glad.
All right. And so give us just a second. We'll be right back.
Right.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com. To learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're grateful to have with us tonight in our discussion of function, of religion, our panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller. And we had a caller that hung in there with us for a second. Somehow we lost him. But nonetheless, we're grateful for each and every one of you who are listening live, who perhaps are intending to archive the show later and listen. Let me encourage you to contact me by going to my website at www.bfcinstitute.com. There is an email address, a phone number, and you can always subscribe to our page. We're grateful for, again, your participation on either of those levels. There's still time for you to give us a call right now live at 657-383-0944. That's Walla, before we left, I asked you to respond to a question relative to rounding up young guys. And I say guys, I've heard people say, well, you know, young girls got problems too. Yes, they do. But if we get brothers in orders, just like the Bible said, then they can be a better example and more viable to the young ladies. Have I got a witness?
You sure do, brother. Yes, sir.
All right, all right, all right, all right. I just wanted to establish that fact now. I ain't backing off of that. I'm going to die with that one. Marvin Gaye talked about a troubled man. And
mm-hmm.
you notice what his faith was. You saw what Marvin's faith was based in, right? There's
yes,
only
sir.
Three things, that's for sure.
Yeah. You said that.
Trouble, taxes, and death, right?
You said that. Yes, he did.
And look how he wrapped it up, Pastor. He said, this I,
this
know,
I know
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. This I know. He wasn't kidding. He wasn't acting. He was telling it like it is, you know? And that's what,
well, now, is
that's
that
what
true?
They did.
But is that true? Pastor,
I mean,
how true
that's,
is
that's
though?
True. Now, it's so
huh?
true because it's so true, Pastor, because it's no time for sugarcoating and compromising and pretending
Amen.
Like it's something that you're. You have to be who
right.
you are, deal with
right.
it, and be the solution. You can be at whatever it is that God has for you to do. Now,
yes,
I say this humble with a humble spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The man said, "You said I come up hard, but that's okay."
Mm-hmm.
You realize that, you know. So I don't have no problem with accepting that, yes, I did. I came up hard, lost as I can be.
Wow.
You know? But that's
wow.
okay. I learned something from it. You
uh-huh.
see, that God taught me something from that.
Yes,
he
sir.
Knew what I had been through. He knew how long I was in it. And he knew that I was the person that he wanted to contact so I can do his will. So,
okay.
You more like it or not? I've been selected to do his will. I have to learn how to accept it and deal with it, you know. I've done Satan's will for all these years.
Okay.
And it was all right to do his will. And now it should be a problem to do God's will and tell what he wants me to tell to the generations to come. Let me explain something to you about what you asked the question about
okay.
before
right.
we got here.
Okay.
In other words, what am I going to do with this type of information? Am I going to keep it to myself, or am I going to take it to the way it belongs? And you're talking about rounding guys up.
Right.
If we happen to have everything we need. The first thing I would like to believe that a story like what was on the news the other day, since all the people that heard it should go tell somebody else about it, and then somebody else should go tell it, and should hit all the churches in Nashville.
Ah.
And then all the churches in Nashville should say, well, since the lady in the end said, well, he have a story out about it, and he wrote a book, you can hear more about it. So why don't you just buy cases of books, go around and give them away to kids?
Okay.
That would be a good thing. That's a tool, okay? But here's what the word
okay.
says to me years ago, what God spoke to me. And I wasn't gray-headed at that time. Still had a little hair on my head, but now it's, yeah. It's from 7-8. And verse number 4, this is what he said, Pastor. He said, we will
okay.
not hide them from their children.
Mm.
Telling it to the generation to come.
Mm-hmm.
The praises of Jehovah, God.
Oh,
and
okay,
his,
okay.
And his
wow.
wondrous that he has done.
Right.
For
right.
establish a testimony in Jacob. And a
point.
He established a testimony. In other words, this is something, when he established something in you, it's there.
I see.
And he appointed this man to go tell it to this generation and the generation to come. What does that mean? When you learn something, you're supposed to know what that means if you learn that. But see, I'm
if
not
you learn.
Saying what learn. I'm not talking about what I just heard. I learned that my assignment was to go tell it to the generation.
Okay.
And
I
to
get
also
you.
Just. You see what I'm saying? And that means that
you.
If I keep it to myself, I would be disobedient to what he asked me to do.
Okay.
So if I'm going
okay.
to wait and I learn everything about him to go tell it, that would be a disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
Because when
mm-hmm.
he didn't school me with everything he wanted me to do at one time. So whatever he taught me in the beginning, I started to apply it.
Right.
And then I found
right.
out 20 years later that he was destroying my life. Well, see, God has proven to me that the people out there deserve. So I just heard what you said, and I was like, man, just think, if you got this type of information, not just in the book form or what it is you're going to, once you gather them up, what kind of instructions are you going to give them now that you gather them up? That's what you ask. Something that they can relate to.
If I might slide in right here, you said it right there. I think there is a tendency, Pastor, for well-intending people to, and I think they're trying to make people feel better by suggesting that their past is not real, or they should forget about it and pretend it didn't happen.
That's a mistake. Yes, I would say.
Let me explain why I say that. Marvin said, there are some things that I have come to learn to be a truth in my life. In other words, that's my substance.
He learned that.
I only look for things to be bad, negative, counterproductive in the future based on what has happened to me in the past. What, suppose we round them up, we got their undivided attention, sir, and now we're able to say to them, that may have been a set of truths for you in the past, but here is how you can move forward and grow and expand your level of faith and for the things that you can hope for tomorrow. Are you walking with me?
You're hitting hard right there now.
Now you learn that God is able to keep you through all that you done been through. You know something kept you there. Now let's check this out. Let's see what we can build for ourselves tomorrow.
Yeah.
How can we shape our future such that we don't have to keep on going through the same old drudgery and the same old setback, the same old frustration, the same pain? Do you think God expects you to keep going through that until he comes back?
No, sir.
No, I read somewhere, I would that you prosper and be in perfect peace.
Yeah.
Those keeping what? Their mind.
Man, stay. That's not on one day. That's not just for one day.
Not just on Sunday. Wednesday or when you're going to church out. But every day of your life when you keep your mind stayed on him.
Oh, man. My goodness.
I wish I had a witness tonight. I felt my help right there, preacher.
Yes, sir. You're right there on it, man. If you don't mind, I say this. If you don't mind, I really would love to.
Go ahead.
What you just said, man, and I mean you're talking about getting these guys the information that they deserve. I'm going to tell you how they probably would feel. Now, I could be wrong.
No. Come on. Give it to me.
But if I use what I know,
right.
You know, it may be in the eyes of some that that's a good thing, but I think they would appreciate it so much that they would be glad to know that tomorrow they can go do this, that, and the other, man, because they found somebody that really, really care and came out and say, that's all we've been waiting for is somebody to just give us some instructions because we don't know what to do.
Boy, you done preached now. That'll preach right there. Yes, sir.
I was standing on the corner. A guy was walking across the street, so I stopped for him, and he's a guy of wisdom, and I made sure I wanted to get his attention, and I was talking to him. And soon as I started talking to him, a city bus started to drive by, and they stopped and raised the window back because that was the driver. It was a lady driving. She said, "Hi, Pastor." And I said, "Man," I said, "look at here." I said, "She's driving a city bus now." I told the guy I was talking to. I said, "Man," I said, "she used to be in." I got her off the street while she was on drugs. I said, "I didn't get her when she went to jail and got out. I got her while she was deep into the drug game, and she didn't weigh probably 80 pounds." I said, "Now she's driving the city bus, man." God wanted the fruit of your labor. I said, "Well, man, I don't go around here looking for." He said, "Man, God wanted you to see the fruit of your labor, brother." You see what I'm saying? Just think.
Right.
Had I not, when the girl was crying out, had I not moved on the situation, I mean, man, she's still straight today, and now driving the city bus.
Okay.
You
okay.
know, so it, that reminds me of all the young people that's out there right now, man. If you can just imagine getting that type of information out there to them, they would be grateful for somebody to come out there and give them some profound items.
Absolutely.
You know? They
that's
wouldn't
it.
Be mad.
That's it.
They may not
You're
even move on
right.
at that thing. Yeah, man. So I got excited when you said that. You, when you talking about your help came on, yeah, you did. You brought it on, man. I just want you to know that I believe, again, I could be wrong. I believe they would be joyful, happy that you came out.
Right.
You know,
right.
and showed a concern. Yeah. That's good news.
I like the way in the Hebrew the concept of religion was used. And there seemed to have been, if my research is correct, there seemed to have been a, linguistically, the focus was not so much on ritual, right, or ceremony, but personal walk and path. And what that brings me to, sir,
mm-hmm.
we're going back to rounding these young cats up. Huh?
Yeah. Okay.
That perhaps we can instill in them the trust within themselves to first identify and then define what their walk in life is going to be. I don't care what happened yesterday. All right, yesterday is gone, and we'll
yes,
never get that time back. We'll never get the time back. But let's try yes. to pass for tomorrow, and let's determine how you're going to walk on the straight and narrow path. From this day forward.
Oh, my.
Help us, Holy Ghost.
From this day forward.
From this
that
day
sounds,
forward.
That sounds like a great
how
starting point.
How we're
going to walk. Yeah,
that is
like a,
perhaps the best function of religion.
The best function of religion. My man. That's all right. You know, you're talking about something that's effective, something that's beneficial, meaningful, something that works.
Useful.
Man.
Yes.
Useful.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm gonna tell you something, preacher. I'm gonna tell you something. My experience, my substance, my stuff with young people in these situations we've been describing over the air is that religion right now. It has no use for them. They have no use for it.
No,
there's
sir,
no
I
place for
that.
It in their life.
That's right. Understandably so. You know, I understand it, man. I mean, this is, you know how some people say about the Bible, and I'll be hearing mm-hmm. all the cliche things like that.
Right.
You know, talking about you may be the only Bible that they see. You know, things like that. That's the only Bible that they see. You don't have to pull out a Bible, you know, for them to receive evidence and be able to understand that there's power in what the Word of God is saying. It says, we then who are strong, all
right.
stand in front of the other weak. So when you round up a group of people like that and you share great news with them, man, you've done your part. You have done your part, but if you do absolutely nothing, you have really
yeah.
actually disrespected the kingdom of God's system.
Uh-oh.
If you have the information, if you don't have it, it's understandable because you don't have it. And maybe that could be the case. I don't know. I'm not
sure.
saying that they don't
sure.
have it.
Okay.
No, that's
what's
not what
clear
I'm
here.
But it's
well,
up
to
your
point.
It's one or the
right.
other.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, here's your point. Here's your greater point. There is something yeah. missing, right?
Yeah.
Right? That's your greater
yes,
point.
Sir.
Something is missing.
It is.
And because there's evidence of something missing, that tells us that there's an opportunity to what? Supply a demand.
Yeah. There's an opportunity.
That's an opportunity. That is
right there. You
now,
just
if
said it.
We say we want to bring them to the house of God, we want to round them up, and we want to meet them where they are, What we have to ask ourselves is, what opportunity is it that we should identify for us to supply a need?
Yes, sir. That's it, brother. I mean, you got to know how to meet them right where they are. You see?
Yes, sir.
You got to use your tools. If you have tools in there, you should have them anyway if you don't have them. And if you have tools, glory to God, then you start to exercise those tools. Because let me share something with you, Pastor.
Okay.
Out in the real world, out in the real world,
uh-huh.
The brothers out there doing things that they're doing, but they have tools, man.
They do.
Tools.
Yes.
And they don't spend days, man, using those tools. Man, they use those tools daily.
Yes,
I know
do.
What I'm talking about. I came from that. And so,
yes, sir.
You know, it's something that they deserve, man. And when I say
right.
they deserve, man, there's a generation, as I just shared with you, I said to the Lord, you know, forsake me not until I have shown to this generation and the generation to come your power. Forsake me not.
Right.
I'm talking about, give me a chance, God, you know. And he has given
right.
me a chance. And now I've seen my hair where it turned great, not from worrying, because I have lived long enough to turn some gray in there, you know, and to be able to receive some gray in there and notice that, okay,
okay.
man, you know, you're getting a piece, but you're doing the work.
Okay. Okay.
See?
Okay.
I don't want to have no regrets or when it's time for me to sit down at the judgment seat of Christ, because I know a lot of people may not have to sit down, but I believe I'm going to have to sit down. Now, that's personal. That's nothing against nobody else. Maybe somebody already got a slot and they're going to already be there and all that. I understand that. But when I
right.
found out I have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you know, to deal with according to the things that I've done, whether it be good
right.
or bad, then, man, look
right.
here, man. I ain't got time to go back to what I used to do because
right.
I wouldn't have a chance.
Okay.
I may not. I don't know what's going to happen even when you're doing the work.
Wow.
That's not my goal.
I'm going to make a prediction, and then I'm going to make a suggestion moving forward, if that's okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my prediction. Under the condition that nothing happens from now until the next 10 to 20, 30 years, we're going to lose a lot more young lives in the streets. That's my prediction. That's my prediction.
Good.
Here's my suggestion.
Woo-wee. Go ahead.
Here's my suggestion. Following this
right.
model right here, following this model right here that says
uh-huh.
pure religion and undefiled before God and
yes.
the Father is this. If we visit those children without fatherly guidance and instruction, coming from
yes,
broken
sir.
Homes, in regards to what their ethnicity is, and we reach out to mamas who
yeah.
are single-parent mamas struggling to raise their children, afraid for their lives, huh?
Right.
And we reach out to yeah. them in their moment of affliction, brother, and we make sure that as righteous men, our lives are pure and unspotted in the presence of God and man. My suggestion
Amen.
Is can meet yeah. them where they are on the streets. We don't have to have four walls in the church.
No, sir.
We can
yes, sir.
Live and represent the word of God and transform life right on the street in the hood.
Right
That's
on, brother. Right there. Yes, sir. Look here.
And maybe,
see, I just...
maybe my prediction will fall short of being the truth.
But watch out. But watch out, man. I'm talking about just think what you just said and see that making progress and changing lives and peace start to flow and freedom, justice, and equality start to be different based on that what you just said. What about
yes,
that? And that's the thing, because who want to wait 20 or 30 years
wow.
to see whether that's going to work versus
my
getting
Lord.
Out and doing something right now?
Right now.
Right now. That's why the Bible says now faith is.
Yes, sir.
You know? Yeah, that means you got to apply it right now to see what comes next. And I believe, man, I believe that what you just shared has substance to it, brother. You know, all over the country, we need that to be carried out.
Last question.
You know, yeah.
Last question.
Go ahead.
Have you got good religion?
Good question. That's
have you
question.
Been baptized?
Yeah. All those things sound so good, man. I tell you, I'll be the first to say, man, it sounded good. I can't help but to say it sure sounded really good. It
well,
had a great sound.
Well, I remember when Jesus was talking to James and John, Zebedee's son, he spoke to the point that unless you can drink this cup that I drink of and be baptized like I have, what was he talking about? This cup is bitter, man, because I have the weight and the pressures of the entire world that is on its way to a living hell. And some
man,
folks are living
it.
In hell right now in 2017.
Don't
and
even realize.
If you're willing, and James and John, if you're willing to be dipped into the gang life, the drug life, the prostitution life, the alcoholic life, and addiction and so forth, and you're willing to go into the crack house and bring lives out, man, then you can, hey, you can be great. Maybe you'll
watch
get you a seat in heaven.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Maybe you can
man,
win a seat in glory.
Because there's people crying out, man.
Oh,
they're
dying. They're literally dying. They're literally
yes,
dying.
Yes, sir, man. And they're doing that as well. So you put that all together, man. And it's an urgency right now for these things to be carried out. And I thank you for bringing it up, man. And I thank you
praise
for what you're seeking to do and continue to do because it's a great need. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's there's nothing wrong when God establishes a testimony in a person and they don't carry it out. Man, that would be a disgrace.
It won't be unto him. Won't be
yes,
unto
sir. Him. I mean, especially when he established testimony, and that's not something that you went and bought.
No.
That's not
no.
You asked for. That's something that he chose to do.
Right.
And when
right.
he said to me, he said, look, Ricky, he said, you didn't choose me, I chose you.
Right. 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 Okay. Listen, we less than a minute, bro. Just when it got good. Just when it got good. Listen, this is Talk Straight. Meet us at our next Tuesday night broadcast. WBFCInstitute.com. Join us. And we're going to roll out of here on this, bro, Pastor. And we thank God for everything he has done for us.
Thank you.